Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found Nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live on a College Football Friday, live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle on Sirius XM and all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. That's channel 159, by the way, on SXM. He is the mastermind of the college football pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, excited for this College Football Friday on FFC, because when you were gone this week, of course, you were still with all of the news in the new SEC schedule for 2024 when Oklahoma and Texas join the Southeastern Conference. Your reactions to that today, Lisi, and of course, we still have a year upcoming before we get to the future in 2024 and what it all means in 2023. Lisi guy, you ready to go?
Oh, yeah, Ben, and I'm glad that we're talking college football on this weekend edition, right?
Yeah.
Because this is what it's all about. You know, I get excited. Now, the SEC comes out with their schedule for next season, and there's only three words to describe it. The good, the bad, and the ugly, Ben. That's three words that I could put in a nutshell, the SEC schedule for next season, because we do see some good in it, Alabama and obviously Georgia squaring off. We see some bad with traditional rivalries maybe not taking front and center stage outside the big ones like Auburn and Alabama. But the ugly is, like, you know, you look at Auburn's schedule. I mean, they are not playing LSU. They're not playing teams, I mean, dating back to like 1933. And when you look at that and you look at the pageantry and the tradition of not just the Southeastern Conference but college football as a whole, we're starting to lose a little bit of what makes the sport so special, right? The fan bases and the rivalries that, you know, just encompass each and every Saturday. We're going to have to change our outlook and obviously get, you know, acclimated to new things in terms of the schedule. I don't know right here, right now, in the offseason, if I'm such a big fan of the new schedule moving forward.
Ooh, Lisi, some heat right now coming out of you, because always, Lisi, in college football, there is a focus on the future. Of course, this is 2 years away when the SEC expands to 16 member institutions, adding OU and Texas. But Lisi, despite being a 16-team conference, they remain with only 8 conference games, taking away that potential possibility of an additional game. One of the big things, Lisi, coming the way of the SEC in 2024 is the scraping of division. So some of those long-standing matchups that we have seen between interdivision opponents like Auburn and LSU, currently two members of the SEC West, it does take away that possibility, Joe, and the opportunity to face one another each and every year. And when you only play 8 league games in a 16-team conference, you also scrap opportunity away on an annual basis, Joe. So an interesting point you bring up.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not as upset about the East and West. I have no problem with the, obviously throwing all 16 teams into the pot, and let's see the top two teams at the end of the regular season. Have no problem with that. What I do have a problem with is some of those rivalries that are under the radar, and we talk about them outside the big ones, Georgia, Florida, Auburn, and obviously Alabama. There are traditional rivalries that encompass college football. football, and more importantly, the SEC as a whole. And I'm not talking about like Auburn and Mississippi State. I am talking, though, about Auburn and LSU, some of the most memorable ball games between both of those teams. I mean, go back 20, 30 years, right? So to see now not both of these teams taking place or facing off against each other, unless it's potentially in an SEC championship type of setting, is unsettling. As a football fan, you want to keep some of the things intact and obviously build upon those, and that's not what we're getting within the conference next season.
And who knows where these teams will be entering 2024. There is expectation for LSU in 2023. Auburn is under a rebuild with Hugh Freeze, but there are some, Joe, that are already prognosticating that come 2024's college football season, the Auburn Tigers might have a say in the SEC with their schedule. Arkansas, Oklahoma, A&M, and Vandy at home. They make the trip to Alabama, Tuscaloosa for the Iron Bowl, and they have a road visit against Georgia as well, the Old South's the Deep South's oldest rivalry, excuse me. So those rivalry games maintain. Joe, we heard from Alabama and Nick Saban earlier this offseason about the idea of those consistent three opponents you would play each and every year. We don't have any idea of that right now because we only have the 2024 conference release, and there are no scheduling pods like the 3-5-5 model the ACC has rolled out starting this year and in the years to come through at least 2026. But Nick Saban apparently, Joe, was not all too pleased with the idea of playing Tennessee, LSU each and every season. So on top of that, they get Tennessee, LSU, Oklahoma all on the road and a home game against Georgia in 2024. So not exactly the most favorable schedule for the Crimson Tide starting in 2024. I don't think you would consider any of these favorable, but we'll continue to go around the reactions in 2024 and then what we might see in 2023 that will set the stage for when so much changes on the college football landscape next year. All of that and more on this College Football Friday, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He's the mastermind of the college football pigskin. That's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe Lisi, we are 10 weeks away from the start of a new college football season, officially tomorrow marking the 10-week point from the start of 2023. But Joe, as always, in CFP, your favorite sport and mine, we always have an eye on the future, beyond the upcoming season and what is in store afterward. The SEC helping with that discussion earlier this week as they released their 2024 conference schedule. When the league expands to 16 teams, adding Oklahoma and Texas, Joe, a ton is going to change in college football in 2024. The SEC adds OU and Texas. The Big Ten adds UCLA and USC. And of course, we expand to 12 teams for the first time in the college football playoffs. So, Lisi, it's all setting the stage of what we can expect for years to come in this sport.
It is, and I think we'll get a taste of what we can expect this year with the Big 12. Obviously, four teams moving over, right? Cincinnati, yep. We have Houston, UCF, and BYU, and I think that's going to be a very exciting league. Not to get off topic, but the Big 12 this year is wide open. The future rivalries, right? The ability to have Joey McGuire and Texas Tech go to the Bounce House in Orlando. Woo! I mean, that's going to be unbelievable. They go to Provo, too, to face BYU this year. So it's going to be very entertaining. So this sets the stage, obviously, for next year. Now, I am open now that we have 12 teams in 2024 for the college football playoff. I've accepted it. I think the regular season still has the possibility to be just as important as it is this year and as it's been in future years. But part of that, too, is, Ben, right? Maintaining those games that we want to see. You know, and for Nick Saban to say, well, he shouldn't go out and play LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn every year. I mean, those are traditional rivalries. I mean, the third Saturday of October is what Tennessee and Alabama are, right? And we saw Hendon Hooker knock off Bryce Young last year. They were a 6.5, 7-point underdog. They got the victory in dramatic fashion in overtime, and that's what we want to see set the stage for future years. I mean, LSU and Alabama over the past couple of seasons, and even in the history of Nick Saban's tenure in Tuscaloosa, have been some of the best games in college football. So why are we trying to go away from all these rivalries and take away from the product on the field? That's what I don't want to see.
I think for the most part, Joe, that we're keeping a lot of those rivalries. We're still having LSU and Alabama in 2024. I know you mentioned the Tigers versus the Tigers. Well, I think the biggest ones are there, Joe. I think Auburn versus LSU, of course, is a SEC West game that we have seen each and every year. Is it a rivalry to the fan bases in the same way the Deep South's oldest rivalry is? Or certainly not the Iron Bowl between Alabama and Auburn? Of course, we still have both of those there. Texas and Oklahoma will continue to play each other each and every year as we get in to the SEC portion of that. We have Oklahoma and Georgia. We have Oklahoma and Alabama. We have Georgia and Texas, because Alabama has played Texas the last two seasons. I still think we maintain, Joe, for the most part, those main rivalries. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, they're playing in 2024 as well. The Egg Bowl lives on. And for the first time, Joe, now as conference opponents, once again, we get Texas and Texas A&M meeting up in a football game for the first time since 2011. So I think we're adding some rivalries back and focusing on the ones that are the most important.
Yeah, I mean, again, Texas A&M to me still has a way to go, you know, to get back to where we were in the late, let's say, 90s, yeah, and even the mid part of the decade in the early
90s. Well, Joe, there's people out there that might know who Tom Seaver is, but they haven't seen A&M and Texas playing a game against each other.
Yes, but I mean, go back. Ricky Williams, 1998, breaks the rushing record against who? Texas A&M, right? Don't start. But don't start. When I see you next in New York, you're mine, Stevens. He brought it up. He had to get it in there, I know. But yeah, especially on the football show, Ben. On the football show, you had to bring it up.
Yeah, I did.
Love
Sorry.
You. No, but yes, to a degree, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm still, like, think about it. Texas and OU in the SEC, it just doesn't seem right, right? It's going to take about three or 4 years before it becomes, you know, the norm and before SEC fans, I think, embrace all of the rivalries. I mean, looking at Texas's schedule from just 2024, they go back to the old Southwest Conference game with Arkansas, right? Last time they played a couple of years ago, Arkansas killed them with Sam Pittman and Bijan Robinson on the other side. So, again, yeah, those rivalries that we were used to, they come back and we lose some of them. Only time will tell, right? At the end of the day, I still want – it all comes down to the regular season. You want to be dialed in each and every week. We don't want to have that lull in, like, week number 12 or 13. Hopefully the SEC can maintain the competitive advantage of the day of had, I mean, for marquee games front and center stage.
Well, Joe, what's really interesting about the SEC is in 2023, 14 member institutions in the Southeastern Conference, only two of the 14 are playing 10 or more Power 5 opponents in their football schedule. It is by far the least amount out of any of the Power 5 conferences. And they remain at 8 conference games despite adding 2 new teams to their conference. There will still be the games against UT Martin. There will still be the games against the Ball States of the world. Two teams, by the way, on Georgia's schedule for 2023. We shared this yesterday, Joe, with Scott Wetzel. The disparity between UGA's schedule this upcoming year and the year after in 2024 is as stark as you will find. From a cakewalk this season, that should really benefit Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs for getting back to the college football playoff for a third consecutive year, looking for their third consecutive national title, as opposed to next year, where they have Alabama on the schedule finally, and a visit to Tuscaloosa in the regular season. They have Clemson in the non-conference once again, like they did 2 years ago. And Joe, for me, that's the important part, right? Maybe SEC fans that are living in Oxford, Mississippi, or in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or they're on the plains in Auburn, Alabama, don't really give a damn at the moment about Texas playing Oklahoma as an SEC ingrained rivalry, because it's not. But the reason you bring in OU and Texas, Joe, is because they are flagship programs, because they are premier programs in the sport, in the viewership, to now have Texas and Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry. Now be an SEC conference game means a ton for TV revenue in the media rights that become accustomed to this, and thus there is a dividend, there is a benefit to having that game within your conference. But for me, Joe, I'm thrilled at the idea because we're scrapping divisions. We are going to see Georgia and Alabama meet for only the third time in a regular season matchup since 2008. You get the best versus the best. That's one of the reasons, Joe, you're a part of what many in the South would consider the best football conference in all the country.
Well, yeah, right now, I mean, the last three regular season games haven't been close. Think about, you know, the last 2 years ago when Mac Jones, they boat raced him with Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith en route to a national championship. They were five-point favorites back in, like, 2014, 2015 with Mark Richt. The Georgia was basically the favorite. Remember Alabama?
They were the higher-ranked team, Joe.
Right, and they got absolutely crushed in that ball game. So, you know, outside the SEC championship, and obviously 2 years ago, Alabama got there, got dominated them in the championship game with Stetson Bennett. You know, but at the end of the day, all right, I get it, but it's still going to be very difficult, Ben. I mean, we're talking about the top two teams and not everybody else. I agree, it should be very entertaining.
We're going to take a look at what is in store this upcoming year. And, Joe, to your point, Alabama dominated Georgia in the two most recent regular season meetings, the SEC title game in 2021, put the Dogs the last laugh in the national championship game 2 years ago. More on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back here on Football Full Circle. So we've had a lot of conversation the past 2 weeks with the Big Ten releasing its 2024 and 25 schedules, adding in UCLA and USC, and then a couple of days back on Wednesday evening, the SEC releasing its 2024 conference college football schedule with the additions of Oklahoma and Texas. We've had a ton of focus on not this upcoming season, but next year or next year, depending on how you think of things. So, Lisi, let's talk about 2023 because it's the year coming up. It's 71 days away. 10 weeks from tomorrow is the first Saturday of the college football season. It is week zero of CFB in 2023. And Joe, before we expand in the SEC to 16 teams, we will have a 14-team league this year that still maintains its divisions in the SEC West and the SEC East. Joe, we talked about those divisional odds earlier this week. Georgia is a very heavy favorite to win the East. So thus, as we look at the SEC title odds, where the Dogs also have a minus money price at minus 105 in front of Alabama, plus 270 for the Tide, in front of LSU, 5-1 number for the Tigers, and then we drop off to A&M, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all with a four-digit price or greater. Joe, how do you think the SEC lays out in 2023?
Well, again, I think it's a handful of teams. I really believe it's going to be Georgia, you know, Alabama, and LSU, the top three. And I think in the second tier, and I'll throw three teams that I think could compete. Obviously, Joe Milton and Tennessee because of what they were able to do last year. I actually put, believe it or not, you're going to laugh, but Ole Miss there, too, because of the quarterback situation. Jackson Dart, they have Spencer Sanders. They have Evans, the running back. The potential with Lane Kiffin to potentially actually channel this team and take it to the next level this season because of the quarterback play. So I think they're there. I think another team that is an outlier is obviously LSU. You know, LSU is always there because of Brian Kelly, because of Jaden Daniels, and because of everybody that they have coming back, Noah Kane and Harold Perkins, you know, are they right there with Georgia and Alabama? No, but they're right there lurking, and Jaden Daniels, to me, could be that quarterback that breaks out in 2023.
Yeah, I would look at it, Joe, like LSU is probably the strongest contender outside of the top two that we expect. Of course, the Bayou Bengals victorious in the SEC West last year and reaching that SEC title game. They did come up short to Georgia, 50-30, the final in favor of the Bulldogs. But, Joe, it's interesting when you look at Alabama, right? If there was any year you think the Tide are moving back just slightly, it might be this one because of the quarterback uncertainty, the change in offensive coordinator, and as is the case every year, a ton of departures, but Alabama restocks and reloads as good as anybody in the sport of CFB. Joe, when I look at Alabama this year, I actually do believe that Alabama has some value because not often do you see that plus 270 price on the Crimson Tide. And whether it's Tyler Buchner, whether it could be a couple of the other names like Jalen Milroe, who we know has the experience right now at the quarterback position, I think there's a potential for Alabama to be able to cash that ticket. Still the favorites in the SEC West, and you're not going to get a plus 270 number money line for Alabama in any game come that SEC championship because, Joe, the Tide have still made it to the SEC title game six of the last 9 years. By far the most frequent visitor in that championship game in Atlanta from anybody in this conference. And all six times they have reached the SEC championship game in Atlanta, they have won the game in which they appeared. So just something to keep in mind. Yes, Georgia's the dominant side right now in the SEC, but Georgia didn't even win the SEC title 2 years ago en route to winning their first of two consecutive national championships. Of course, it was the Crimson Tide that handed it to the Bulldogs that day.
Yeah, it was. And there's a couple of reasons why you have to favor Alabama, right? Just look at the pedigree in terms of what they were able to do within the conference over the past, like, seven seasons. They've only lost, like, much like Clemson, seven conference games for the most part. They lost two conference games last year. Where were they? Outside of Brian Denny, right? It came in Tennessee and Knoxville, and it came in LSU, both very close ball games in overtime, right? So if you're going to beat Alabama, you have to do it outside of Brian Denny. They have one loss since 2016. So I think that's where you look at potential roadblocks for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And now that you do have Tommy Rees, right? He didn't come from an NFL organization or a program, right? He came from Notre Dame, where they were more of a ground and pound type of attack and obviously worked off of play action with Buchner there. So at the end of the day, is that going to be the mindset for Alabama this year? Are they going to go back to the run and more become more run heavy because maybe they're limited in terms of the quarterback position? I don't know. Only time will tell. But you get value on Alabama. But at the end of the day, those other teams like LSU, right? KJ Jefferson and Arkansas are no joke from an offensive perspective. Rocket Sanders comes back. Hugh Freeze and Peyton Thorne are there. Robbie Ashford's there with a new offensive scheme. So you can never say never. I think it's a good price for Alabama, but I'm not willing to just jump in that they're going to run away with the SEC West this year.
No, it's going to be competitive, right, Joe? Are there teams, though, outside of the Bayou Bengals you consider a true contender for that divisional crown? We don't really have belief in A&M, right? We're not starting to buy back into Jimbo just because Bobby Petrino's calling plays?
No, absolutely not. No. I think that's a dead man walking program. I really believe if they don't get to 10 wins and potentially an SEC championship, he's out the door. You can't keep him for $9.5 million to duplicate exactly what someone has done.
Yeah, I agree. Joe, it always seems like if a coach is really on the hot seat, and if for as much as Jimbo Fisher is making right now and what that buyout looks like, which would be ridiculous for even the biggest of A&M's boosters, that the final move before a coach is truly on the hot seat is to change your coaching staff. It's to change something that has been a big key. And for Jimbo, who has called the plays and has struggled to relinquish those abilities to allow Bobby Petrino now to take that onus, really kind of moves things around, right? Oh, he's adapting. He's making changes. He's versatile. Well, if it doesn't work, there's bigger issues afoot, and that could lead to the end of the Jimbo Fisher era in College Station, an era where he has not won more than 8 regular season games and is now 5 years. And, of course, Joe, sub .500 last year, not even bowl eligible.
No, and that's the thing. Like you said, he's 23-18, you know, just in the SEC in his last five seasons. You know, they were 2-6 within the conference last year. You can't do that. You know, the issues, and it goes beyond just the numbers. It goes, look at that offense last year. Now you have Petrino. These are two big guys in the room, right? Are they going to get along when adversity hits? That's going to be the thing, because Jimbo's a former OC. If he doesn't like what he sees and the game or the season's on the line, is he going to take away the duties from Bobby Petrino? Or is he willing to go down that road in that ship and allow Petrino to navigate that offense solely? That is the concern. I mean, how can from the betting perspective, you cannot bet Texas A&M right here, right now, because, like I said, the minute that adversity hits, they lost to App State last year as an 18.5-point favorite at home. Okay? I mean, that just cannot happen this season. They can't limp to wins this year. They lost to Auburn with a Cadillac Williams as an interim coach last year.
Hell yeah.
I mean, come on. You had Devin Achane. You had Muhammad at the wide receiver position. You had Max Johnson that transferred from LSU, and you still couldn't get over three wins in the SEC. That is horrible. Horrible. Horrible job.
It is really bad, and that's the only way about it. And yet, here we go once again, Joe, where the optimism for A&M is a little bit there, at the very least, right? Like, last year, their win total was 8.5. The over had the juice at minus 170. I know our good friend Connor O'Gara, who does great work for Saturday Down South, covering the SEC with the best of them, was like, you couldn't pay me somebody's full salary to bet that price because it's just so overinflated. Joe, this year, it's 7.5. The over is minus 176. Jimbo has won 8 games during a regular season in College Station. That's not the expectation for the Aggies by any means. But I don't know if I'm convinced, Joe, they're winning 8 games this year. A lot of the talent that A&M could rely on in the years past, right? We talked about it entering last season. The best ever recruiting class in the history of college football. It's what peeved off Nick Saban so much. It was the war of words at this time last year between the two former co-workers. It led to Jimbo Fisher holding a press conference the very next day to call Nick Saban a czar of college football. All of that, right, was because of A&M's recruiting and dismantling Alabama from that top spot. But you added the best ever recruiting class with three top 10 classes prior. You have everybody on campus who's a top 10 recruit virtually, Joe, in one of those classes, and you still only win 5 games. And then outside of that, some of those really good players have all departed this offseason in the transfer portal. I am not going to buy into A&M winning 8 games in a regular season until I see it once again after how disastrous things were. And frankly, from a program perspective, I don't think adding Bobby Petrino, although a strong offensive mind, is maybe the best recipe alongside DJ Durkin and Jimbo leading them all. So, no, I do not believe that A&M is a guaranteed 8-win football team next year.
And think about this, Ben. The month of September will really dictate whether this team is going to crash and burn or elevate to potentially being a contender, because they go on the road week 2 to face Mario Cristobal and Miami, right? They barely beat them last year. Both programs are embattled. And then week number 4 of September, they battle Hugh Freeze. That could upset anybody.
And in those games, Joe, that you just mentioned, A&M a 7.5-point favorite on the road in Miami. I think that says a lot more about the Hurricanes than the Aggies. And the next game that we have, first weekend of October, A&M hosts Alabama in College Station as a touchdown dog. I think that line will look different come October 7th. More FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Work. You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back here on FFC. It is football full circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. So, Joe, we spent some time talking about the SEC today. I want to transition to the Big 12, right? Because this is the final year with the two flag bearers of that conference playing in the league, Texas and Oklahoma. When you think Big 12 football, at least since 2000, you think UT, you think OU. There are some other great teams, and this year we'll add in four more for 14 in 2023. And after OU and Texas leave, it will become 12, back to its original namesake, the Big 12, in 2024, with Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, and BYU joining the conference this upcoming season. But Joe, when you look at this final year for Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12, they are expected at least to contend for a conference championship. UT right now the favorites, plus 115. The second best price, their rivals in OU, plus 340 for the Sooners. Joe, do you think both of these teams will contend for a conference title in the Big 12 this season?
No, I don't. I mean, let me rephrase that. I think they'll be in the mix, but I don't think they're going to get there. I really don't. I think that OU has some concerns on the defensive side of the ball. I didn't see enough out of that defense last year with Brett Venables to lead me to believe that they're going to elevate to the potential of what he had in Clemson. And even with the Oklahoma had at the end with Alex Grinch, they were at least a little more athletic than what they were last year. So I don't think so. And then Texas, to me, I think their whole season hinges on that trip to Tuscaloosa. I really believe that, even though they're 7-point dogs right now. If they get absolutely abused in that ballgame and, let's say, lose by double digits, that could send that team into a spiral. You know, they're a very fragile program, Texas, right now. And, they, you know, Sark is headed in the right trajectory, but now he really needs to go past what Tom Herman had there, you know, obviously 5 or 6 years ago with Major Applewhite. So I don't think they can both get there. I think it's wide open. I think a team like UCF is live. I think a team like Texas Tech is live with Joey McGuire and what he has with Tyler Shuck and Morton in terms of those quarterbacks. And don't count out the old man Mike Gundy. You know, Alan Bowman's there. They have a lot of new talent. I understand they lost their defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, a couple years ago, and they lose Mason, obviously, from last year, which is a benefit. But he has coached that team up to be very competitive within the conference. They are 60-1. 60-1, Oklahoma State, to win the conference this year. Are you kidding me? I'll take that any day of the week.
We'll take it right now, then. Take it on this College Football Friday. Why don't you? 60-1, a little sprinkle.
I got him already. I have him in parlays. I have Oklahoma State already. I already booked. I cannot believe a team that was at the top, okay, to potentially win the Big 12 last year and the year before is now 60-1, and teams like UCF, BYU, Cincinnati, I mean, we're putting them on the same level as Oklahoma State. I mean, that's not fair. Mike Gundy has had his shares of ups and downs, but where he got this program from a defensive perspective over the past three seasons, I think they're going to be okay this year.
Listen, Alan Bowman is an interesting guy, right? Comes from Texas Tech, transfers to Michigan, doesn't really battle for that job in the last few years. Cade McNamara, J.J. McCarthy, obviously winning out, and J.J. McCarthy brings that returning experience to Ann Arbor this upcoming year. He finds his way to Oklahoma State. The journey has been long, Joe, but he does provide some veteran pedigree, and he knows the Big 12. He knows this conference. 60-1 is interesting to see Oklahoma State, Joe, a team that played and was inches away from a conference title just 2 years ago. And we both thought for what, the first 6 or 7 weeks of this past college football season, probably could go and play in another Big 12 championship game. Lisi, I want to focus on a couple of teams first. You gave us some long shots, some teams that you think could contend. Texas Tech right now, you love the Red Raiders and Joey McGuire. 12-1 number for the Red Raiders. It's the fourth best in the conference. UCF, Mike Malzahn, and the Knights be able to put something out there in their first year in this conference. John Rhys Plumlee, Jerp, as our good man Kevin Walsh calls him, 35-1 for the Knights to maybe make some headway in their first year in the Big 12. But Lisa, a couple of teams that we'll get to Texas and Oklahoma in a minute because it's a fascinating conversation coming up. But TCU in Kansas State, Joe, did battle in the Big 12 championship game this past year. Of course, it was sensational. It goes to overtime. Somehow, some way, Kendre Miller doesn't touch the ball on the goal line, and K-State pulls off the upset, handing TCU its only loss prior to the college football playoff and national championship game. But the Horned Frogs still get to the CFP despite not winning their conference. Joe, plus 470, the price on K-State, the third best number. TCU, 20-1, the sixth best price to win a Big 12 title this upcoming season. What do you think the outlook is for Chris Klieman and the Cats and Sonny Dykes and the Horned Frogs?
Well, I mean, very bright. I mean, both of those coaches are fantastic. Now, you know, Chandler Morris is there for TCU and Will Howard for K-State. If I had to pick both, I would take TCU over Kansas State. Chris Klieman has done a fantastic job, but they lose Deuce Vaughn this year. That's going to be a knock to that team. But all he does is reload. They predicate a rushing attack and obviously working off of play action. It's just, for me, I look at the defensive perspective, and with seven starters coming back for TCU, especially three starters back in the secondary, for me, I lean to the Horned Frogs to have better progression and trajectory this year than Kansas State. But again, I think Kansas State will be a potential eight-win football team. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm not doing it with Will Howard. I don't care that he stepped up last year and made dynamic performances. I've watched Will Howard be inconsistent throughout his career. Now he's the guy. I'm not buying in. I'm going with Chandler. Out of both of those teams, I think TCU has a better season. I think they could be 9-3 this year.
For sure. You know that TCU was going to lose a lot off of last year's team that so overperformed on expectations. The Horned Frogs were 120-1 before the season began last year to win a national championship. Far, far down the board. Nobody really saw what the Horned Frogs were able to pull off. In fact, TCU, the first team in the college football playoff era the past nine seasons to be unranked in the preseason and make it all the way to the national championship game. With that being said, Lisi, why do you think the expectation for this year is so different than the end of last year for TCU? Why are the Horned Frogs 20-1 to win the Big 12 this season?
Well, I mean, think about what they lose. They lose Miller. They lose Quentin Johnson. They're two big players, right? At the end of the day, that's a huge component, obviously, along with their quarterback. I mean, at the end of the day, even though Chandler Morris was the starter last year against Colorado, right, and he goes on, and you look at what they have now with Max Duggan moving on to the NFL, I mean, at the end of the day, that's a main reason. To lose the big three like that from an offensive perspective, it's just perception. Can this team reload, or can Sonny Dykes duplicate exactly what he did? And is there a hangover effect from not just losing to Georgia, but getting absolutely kicked in the teeth and knowing that you're, I want to say the bar, that's how far you are, maybe potentially in terms of the interior lines from a national championship. Does that weigh on TCU? I think that's why maybe the books are looking at Klieman and Kansas State and saying, you know, they're better this year. They have better upside. But look at what Alabama did to Kansas State. I mean, Bryce Young barely didn't even break a sweat in the second half of that game. He threw five touchdowns, had one of his best performances against the Kansas State secondary. So, I mean, I think they're both on paper equal. They have their strengths. They have their downside. But I think TCU's defense is still a little bit more intact with seven starters coming back. And the way K-State plays, right, Sonny Dykes is a great offensive mind. He's a great game planner. Chris Klieman has made his bread and butter running the football, methodical, right, wearing teams down and then working off a play action. So if they fall behind like they did against TCU in the second half, they fell behind. They couldn't catch up, right? That was the difference. So that's why I give the edge to TCU. I think I think Dykes and the defense give them the edge over Will Howard and what they have from an offensive perspective in Manhattan this year.
And, of course, listen, I'll just say a couple of very impact-worthy transfers for TCU on the offensive side of the football coming from Alabama. Some very highly regarded recruits in JoJo Earl, the wide receiver, who was a former top 50 recruit, and Trey Sanders, the running back, now a member of this TCU offense. Chandler Morris will pull the strings, Joe, as we know. He battled it out with Max Duggan last year to be that starting quarterback. He actually started the opening game of the year before Duggan came on and won that job. But a couple of the names that we came to know at the end of last year, Amari DiMarcado, Kendre Miller, Quentin Johnston, no longer there for the Horned Frogs offensively, and of course Max Duggan into the National Football League as well. It is just fascinating, Joe, to see the expected regression for the Horned Frogs this year. A team that's win total currently, as you project out for 2023, stands at 7.5, where the over has the juice, minus 144. The expectation, an 8-win football team for Sonny Dykes in 2023. All right, Lisey, are you ready? Texas and Oklahoma, the two teams that have the two best prices to win a Big 12 championship. Joe, Texas, we played trivia yesterday with Scott Wetzel. I want to see if you can get this. Texas's win total this year is 9.5. The over has the juice at minus 134. The expectation is double-digit wins for Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns in Austin. Can you tell me the last time that Texas had 10 regular season wins or more in their football program history?
10 season. It wasn't where, well, Herman, they had, are we counting bowls? Because technically they won 10 when they beat Georgia 28-21.
Correct. I'm talking regular season wins. Regular season wins.
Because that's
what it takes to cash this ticket. A win total is only regular season wins.
It would have to be with Mac Brown. I'm going to say Mac Brown.
You're correct, Joe. 2009. Who was the starting quarterback in 2009 for Texas?
Ooh, 2009. Hang on. Bear with me. It was Vince Young and then.
Come on, Lisey guy.
I got to
think now. Who's the best Texas quarterback outside of Vince Young in your lifetime?
Best quarterback for Texas.
The kids remember Tom Seaver. They certainly remember the Texas starter in 2009.
Oh, Colt
led them
McCoy
to the Big 12 championship game.
Boy, there you go, Colt McCoy.
There you go. Come on, the block field goal they knock off.
Now you see. That's twisted because come on. Yes, he was.
What's
he
twisted?
Led them to the. I know, but. But if we're talking Chris Sims, who was up there, if you go with the faithful, and then, Peter Gardner. And I know.
Get out of town. When you talk about illustrious history of Texas football,
I know
Vince Young
McCoy
is one when it comes to a quarterback, and Colt McCoy is two, at least in terms of records and accolades. Get out of town with Chris Sims. You might as well throw
a towel. I'll tell you, James White was a better quarterback back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, all right. We'll come back on Football Full Circle for a few more minutes because we got to get back to the Texas conversation. We get back. Is Texas back? Joe Lisey has the answer. Up next, live right here on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisey and Ben Stevens.
Just a few more minutes before we send you into your weekend, live right here on Football Full Circle on this College Football Friday. Joe, we finish with the Texas conversation. Is Texas back? Joe, will Texas be back? A team that is favored to win the Big 12, plus 115. It is the only price that is less than $3. The win total for the Longhorns, 9.5, and the over has the juice. The last time they went over that, 2009, in terms of 10 or more regular season wins. Colt McCoy was their starting quarterback. That means 13 consecutive years hitting the under of 9.5 regular season wins. So, Joe, will 2023 be a different season in Austin?
No, I think they're 8-4. And I know I was, you know, joking around with Colt McCoy and, you know, all the quarterbacks. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it does come down to Quinn Ewers, right? You know, Quinn Ewers has got to be the guy to elevate this team. And I think their road games are very difficult. You know, Texas at Baylor, Texas obviously on the road in Fort Worth is always difficult. And the names with a team that is really needs to step up in Matt Campbell and Iowa State, not going to be easy before the home game with Tech. I think they're 8-4. Ben, I really do. And James Brown, I was thinking Jason White from Oklahoma. James Brown was a pretty good quarterback when he had Priest Holmes in that backfield. They were dominant, you know, with McAvick at the helm as well. So,
for sure. It's still Vince Young and Colt McCoy. I mean, it's not even a question.
Anyway, I know, but I like those guys.
I know you do. You're a historian of the sport. I appreciate that about you. But, Joe, they play on the road in Tuscaloosa on the second Saturday of this college football season, Saturday, September 9th. They're only a touchdown underdog somehow, some way. When they hosted Alabama last year, they were a 20.5-point home underdog. I don't think they're going to win that game. Let's assume they don't. It follows the odds. That means out of the remaining 11 games, for Texas to go over 9.5 wins, they have to win 10 of the 11. They're on the road in Waco, on the road in Houston, on the road in Fort Worth against the Horned Frogs, and there's still the Red River rivalry game against Oklahoma. I don't see it, but maybe they'll prove us wrong. Who knows? Joe Lisi, have a great weekend, my friend. That does it for us today here on Football Full Circle. I'm Ben Stevens. The Money Line is up next.